Welcome back, UFOFers and Freaky Fandomites, to another episode of the Fortress of Fandom podcast, the podcast where today two guys sit around and talk about nerdy stuff. I'm Garrett, and this episode is it's a lost episode of sorts. I totally forgot that I had this other half of recording with Nathan from the previous episode, so I apologize. I apologize for my absence. It's been kind of a crazy 6-7 months. I guess it's closer to 7 months now. I've been taking some classes online for coding and web development, so that's taken up the majority of my time. But hopefully, here in the near future, we can maybe see a Fortress of Fandom website. Might be a big project for me to take on, but I'm gonna try my best. Anyway, like I said, this is a lost episode kind of thingy where I'm getting back into things, into recording and stuff, and I looked and I had this extra file that I completely forgot about. So here it is. I apologize. Some of the information and stuff we talk about might be a little dated, so you know, bear with me on that. But yeah. Also, before we get into the episode, there's a new product. There's a product that I would like to discuss with you. Winslow Dumain is the creator of a unique, horrifying deck of tarot cards. He reached out to me recently and asked if I would give him a shout out and feature his product on the podcast. He actually asked me to feature his Kickstarter for this product on here, and I, like I said, I have been busy and wasn't able to get a podcast episode up before the Kickstarter ended, but I will direct you guys for those who are interested to his website. Is www.winslowdumain.com. That's you spell that WinslowDumaine.com. This tarot card, like I said, it is a unique, horrifying deck, kind of inspired from Hellboy, Junji Ito, Dark Souls, Silent Hill, and horror legends like, I'm going to butcher this. Zdzisław Beksinski and H.P. Lovecraft. He also is also inspired by black metal. The promotional video features a song by the black metal band Pharmakia. pretty cool. Like I said, the Kickstarter is over, but go check him out. Go check out his product if you're into tarot card. Back to our back to the lost episode. Hope you guys enjoy. So next item of interesting news: Matt Reeves' Batman hasn't even come out yet, and they are already planning a spinoff series for HBO Max.
Oh, hit me with it, please. What's the name of it?
They don't have a name yet. They don't have a name yet, but it's, according to Matt Reeves, it's going to be a police procedural series set in the crime-infested streets of the Cape Crusaders' hometown, Gotham City.
Oh, you mean Gotham?
Yeah, exactly like Gotham, only on HBO Max.
You mean five seasons that we already have of Gotham that we saw on Fox?
Yes.
Are you going to do it on HBO Max?
It's what that sounds like.
I'm not spending more money to watch something I've already watched. I already stopped watching Gotham in season one because it was boring as fuck. But I was already told that was a terrible idea because season two apparently gets so much better.
It does get better, but then it starts getting worse again.
So. And that's why I'm just kind of like, maybe one day when I'm rich and retired, I'll be like, you know what? Let's check out this Gotham show I watched when I was a young lad. let's take a gander. But now I'm good. And you know what? It bothers me because it's such an obvious, like, viewer in cash grab. Like,
yeah.
We don't need another story about Gotham PD. We already know that, number one, they're corrupt. Number two, and many times when it comes to these supervillains, they're inept. And number three, they have heart and soul with probably five people that we all know. We don't need new characters to care about.
Yeah.
Like, Gotham is such an interesting city and organism by itself.
It is.
That we don't need to focus on police again. Why don't we tell a story from the criminal's point of view? Seriously.
I agree with you. Like,
let's have a show where we talk about the Court of Owls.
That would be dope.
We don't know anything about the Court
of Owls. Court of Owls shows up in Gotham, so that would be.
Where's the Court of Owls spinoff? Let's talk about how we could have like four seasons talking about the different generations of Court of Owls and have them interacting with different aspects of Gotham. And we don't even need to go that far. We can literally just have them interacting with the Waynes. Maybe have a high-ranking court member, like friend Thomas Wayne, and have them have a relationship throughout.
Yeah.
And maybe somehow Thomas gets involved with the organization, and that's why he gets killed in Crime Alley.
Yeah.
Maybe he knew that he was being followed and he caught wind of it in the Mark of Zorro and he cut through the alley, but it was too late. And this is me going off the top of my head.
Right.
I'm not a f-ing writer getting paid millions of dollars for this. This is me being a fan being like, maybe this would be interesting.
This would be sweet. Yeah. Different take on it. Yeah. No, I agree. They could do that, or they could, a League of Assassins kind of in the underground. That would be dope too. Having Ra's al Ghul be the main character, setting up, all these schemes and stuff that he's working on underground, being in the background. This is just off the top of my head. And then, since it's in the same universe as Matt Reeves as the Batman, what's his name? Cedric Diggory.
Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson's Batman show up in the season, in the season finale, and kick some butt and take some names and start all over the next season.
Another additional idea that just popped into my head: we can do an in-depth HBO Max show of Bruce's training.
Yeah, there we go. That'd be cool.
Because we often hear Batman first of all, I just want to say, for the record, Batman is one of five characters in DC that I can debate without prep, and I have done at a moment's notice. So I know most about Batman that there is to know, I know. So yeah. I can tell you right now, there are things about his training that sometimes I forget. And I think it would be super fascinating to go from the moment he's done, or even go from his education.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have him start off at Oxford and then show him next at Cambridge, then show him next at Harvard, then show him next in a little montage of every now and then evidently replaying the night over and over. Have him learning from Ted Grant, which is the first, I believe that's the first combat instructor that he had. And I weave that into there because a lot of people forget his first instructor was in boxing, and his instructor was Ted Grant Wildcat.
Yeah,
that was his first teacher ever. So that's like, and then we can go over how he went through the different aspects of combat, blah blah blah, how he learned all 127 styles. That's not just something that you can just gloss over. People often go like, "Oh, Batman wins because he's Batman." No, tell me how he's Batman.
Right.
That's a show that I would watch the shit out of.
Right.
Year one, leaving the FBI. He worked for the FBI. He was an employee of the FBI. People are like, how did he do this? This is how he did this. He spent years doing this shit. Like, show that on HBO.
Exactly.
I don't give a about Gotham.
He's got such a
Yeah, he's got such a rich like backstory before he actually becomes Batman. And going back to what you said about noobs in this geek culture that has been become you know more and more prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who says that Iron Man can beat Batman, like, you're full of it. Like, go read a comic book. Like, come on now.
So wait, you said Iron Man can't?
Iron Man. I'm sure he could, like, in the right writing, like, if the story was right.
Okay.
But, like, if we're getting down to it, like, Bruce Wayne against Tony Stark, there's no contest.
So I'll say this. In a random encounter, I think Tony wins that. Because Bruce wouldn't have an answer to Tony's tech. Tony's hack and EMP proof.
I'll give you that.
He's got 100 tons.
He might get the first win, but then Batman would get away and come back and totally wreck him.
I think he has the stealth to escape and get away because he's got the stealth to evade Cyborg, Superman, Martian Manhunter, and they've got senses that are stupid.
Yeah.
So if Bruce can get around those, he can get around Tony's tech and find a way to disable it or blind it.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
But I think if somebody was like, haha, Bruce Wayne, haha, Tony Stark, you two fight, and Tony does what he does and goes for it, I don't think Bruce has an answer for it. Now, Bruce gets away, stalks him, figures him out, Bruce comes away with that dub. That there's no...
See, he's gone up against Lex Luthor before in his Luthor suit, and Luthor suit is very similar to Tony Stark. In certain aspects,
aspects of it,
and so I think having that background knowledge, he might have a slim chance of actually in a random encounter coming out on top.
I give that slim, but I would give Tony more of a mechanical edge because you got to understand he's been working on this armor since the 60s.
That's true. That's true.
Has Batman ever beaten Lex in the Lexer suit? That's what I gotta know. Because I know he's faced him. I don't know if he's beaten him, though.
You know what? That's a good question. And we're gonna have to come back on that.
Yeah. I trust me, I love Batman. But there are some matchups in comics that I'm like, he doesn't win.
I don't know. I mean,
like him versus Hulk, I'm like, that was bullshit.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Comics. I was like,
that was really dumb.
I was like, no. I remember reading it as a kid. I was like, no.
No, yeah. No. You would not be able to kick him that hard to be able to inhale the gas. And the gas wouldn't work in the it wouldn't work. Sorry.
I'm like, just stop. Just stop. Like, people try to do that in debates on Instagram and on Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, well, he did this against Hulk, so that makes him like, just please stop.
Yeah.
Next, you're going to tell me Ben Reilly beating Superboy is canon.
Mm-hmm.
Just please fucking stop. Because even that, I love Spider-Man. I love Spidey, but he would get wrecked against Superboy, and I don't know why electricity beat him in this.
Yeah, that's weird. That's really weird. Unless it's unless it's magical electricity, it would not have any effect on him. So,
unless it's Kryptonian, or unless there's kryptonite in the water where he was shocked,
right?
Which if this is an episode of Smallville that's completely viable.
Very, very, very viable.
God. I was so mad at that. Sorry, super side note. One time they. What episode of Smallville, he's facing off against the villain of the week, and I laughed so hard. She threw a tornado at him, and he's just standing there because it's just wind. And all of a sudden, it passes over a crack, and kryptonite comes up, and he falls to the ground. I was like, what is this? What is life? Are you serious?
Right, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I remember that episode.
It's like season 7. It was like one of Supergirl's episodes. Like,
yeah.
I was dying. I was like, so she can fly over it, but he's still writhing in pain on the ground. Like, what is that? Superman returns, but he lifts the island of kryptonite. I thought it weakened him. Why is he lifting it into the stratosphere? Inconsistent writing. Anyway, sorry.
Yep. No, it's fine. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with the spinoff series.
I give it half a season before people are like, "Why are we doing this?"
I think Matt Reeves with all the talk of Ben Affleck coming back to do his version of Batman on HBO Max, I feel like Matt Reeves is a little threatened. Like he's like, oh no, like the real Batman's coming back. All the attention is going to be on him. Nobody's going to want to come see my Batman story. So let's make it, you know, let's put my stuff on HBO Max as well.
Yeah, which that is way, untrue. Because yeah. I think Robert Pattinson's going to do a really good job.
I think so too. I'm really excited about he's another one that's a fan of Batman. Like he knows his stuff.
He's a fan of Batman. He's doing the training and I'm not a proud male to admit this, but I'm going to because I have nothing to hide from the world anymore. I've seen all four Twilight movies.
I think I have as well. Not from beginning to end, but at some point.
No, I've seen it from beginning to end, and I forget what they're all about. But the point is, they're somewhere in my brain.
Yeah.
And when we're actually invaded and taken over by aliens, and all of our thoughts are downloaded to a central computer, you'll probably get to see them eventually.
Yeah. But
until that moment actually happens, LOL, JK, but not really. until that moment actually happens, you have to take my word for it. He was the better part of those movies.
Yeah.
Like, if you've seen him in other things as well,
mm-hmm.
which you should, you'll understand why he'll be a good Bruce Wayne. He's doing the research. He's
mm-hmm.
doing the work. I'm sorry. He looks like Bruce Wayne.
He does. He
looks like
he
does. Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I agree. He's a great actor. The Lighthouse was amazing. Like, just right? Awesome. Awesome movie. Mm-hmm. Him and Willem Dafoe together, just genius. Like, they were fire.
And you can't fake it with Willem Dafoe. Like, he'll let you know if you're shitting the bed.
Yeah.
I have a feeling like he's that kind of a dude to be like, hey, you're making this hard for me.
Yeah.
To pick up the pace.
I did actually read that they had issues filming that because Willem Dafoe likes to rehearse and Pattinson likes to do one takes. He likes to be very spontaneous. And so
I can see that. That's great.
That led to some conflict.
Yeah.
So anyway, no, he's a great actor. I'm really excited for that. Whether that, you know, his Batman needs a whole nother series is a different thing altogether.
It's just greedy. Like, we don't need it. It's greedy and we don't need it.
I agree. Let's take that time and that effort and that money and use it on a different story, a different superhero. Let's have a police procedural series about Green Lantern, like policing the galaxy. Let's do that. Let's
see. Right.
Because there's got to be some crazy, learning curve on Hal Jordan or any of the Lanterns trying to figure out the laws and stuff and everything going on in the galaxy. There's got to be something crazy.
You gotta look at it like this. Like, you go from being a man to realizing that you can break apart moons with this ring on your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You can also fly in space and mm-hmm. breathe underwater.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to, you could go to the bottom of the ocean right now and you'll be safe.
Yep.
That's how this works. That's honestly what I would probably do.
Yeah.
To kind of see what's down there. And I'd freak myself out because I'm like, nope, we're teleporting out. Like,
I'm yeah.
Next, I'm good. I didn't need to see Atlantis. I'm good. I'm yeah. good. Okay with that.
Yeah, there's lots of other stuff that could be done, could be focused on. But
like, last thing I want to say is last idea that popped into my head: Jason Todd.
Yeah, Jason Todd would be great.
Let's do his story the minute he comes out of the Lazarus pit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do the training he went through, the similar path that he went through with Bruce. Let's do his training with League of Assassins. Let's do his building up his reputation as Red Hood. And let's have it end two seasons in with him meeting Batman and be like, and it could be Matt Reeves's Batman.
Yeah, that would be cool.
It could be like an older Robert Pattinson at that point, because I'm sure we'll be in the second movie. You can age him and have him be like, Jason. You know?
Let's do something. Something. Let's
do something new. We don't need... Anyway, sorry.
It's all good. It's all good.
All right. I'm better. I'm all good. I'm back.
All right. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Yes.
Is in development. I'm not sure where they are. I'm sure they're not, not filming right now. But there are speculations on what is going to happen in the movie, because, as we all know, Doctor Strange, he has formed some other fighting factions, some other hero groups outside of the Avengers. One of them being Defenders. And so that leads us to think, in his second movie, he's got to, at some point become the Sorcerer Supreme. He's also probably, with the multiverse going on, he's probably got to, and with the Avengers technically being disbanded and broken up after the events of Endgame, he's got to have somebody helping him traverse the multiverse. So who would you have him bring in to the Defenders?
So I think the Multitude of Madness is a perfect example, it's a perfect opportunity for him to bring in this new line of X-Men. Yeah. I think it's a perfect opportunity to introduce the next villain. And the only two villains that I want for the next big bad of the MCU rhymes with slang and rhymes with Schmalactus.
Huh, I wonder who those could be.
Scratch his head. I want Kang, because Kang is a formidable foe. He's a formidable foe. And Kang is someone who doesn't muck around. And, him being... his origin is very fascinating, because we get that exploration that we've only gotten in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Mind you, I haven't watched the current season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because what happens is I watch it and then I get thrown off by a week or two and then I lose interest. So I just catch it on Netflix. Because I'm just like, I'll binge it like I do.
Yeah.
And I think introducing time travel into the MCU was good, and introducing the rules of time travel was good, because the rules are something we're going to play with when we get to Loki. Loki's going to be interesting, because I think from what we gathered from the trailer, from the very limited trailer, there's a story behind that. And that's going to be explored. I think it has a lot to do with time travel. I think we're obviously going to get Wanda, and we're going to get her. I think we're going to probably get her children in the Multitude of Madness, get a life with Vision, which is going to be explored in WandaVision.
Yeah.
I think this is a good opportunity to bring in the X-Men, as I mentioned before, because I think, how else are you going to introduce them to the MCU? You have the rights now. You have the window right there.
It's a good question. That would be a good way to bring him in, though. That would definitely be a good way to bring him in.
Fantastic Four, same
one. Fantastic Four, you could bring in them, too.
And give us a good movie. Please, God, give us a good movie. Three times you played with my heart, and three times you just landed in dinosaurs.
They weren't ever like great, but they went like
the second one was good. Down. Good by comparison.
Yeah.
Like, God, I'm so mad. Because the thing is, none of the movies, it was none of the cast's fault.
Yeah, no.
Julian McMahon played a great Doom.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was good.
Chris Evans was a really good Human Torch. Like he was great as Human Torch.
Yoel McGruffin was a great Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Jessica Alba was also in the movies. So the point I wanted to get to, and you know, Michael Chiklis did his damn thing. He was in that makeup. It was uncomfortable and he got it done. Mm-hmm. He played the thing. It was good. So
it was a small thing, but it was good. Yeah.
It was, yeah. I mean, he had trouble lifting a Ferris wheel, which I was like, this is like when I was watching Justice League when it came out, season one, and they had the Flash struggle for like two panels chasing a car.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, you dodge lightning.
yeah. What are you doing?
Like, this is a car. Like, I know what you're thinking. Like, a car, you know, was it super? No, bro, it had four wheels.
Yeah, it's not the DeLorean going through space or nothing.
It wasn't the Batmobile that reaches 120 in less than, like, 10 seconds. It's like, no, this was a car that you could get at the local used car dealership. And the Flash was struggling to keep up with it. I was like, yo, do you guys understand these characters? Like, Superman took, like, two hits from Wonder Woman, and he was bruised. I was like, dog, bro. Like, I get it. Diana's strong, but you also fought Darkseid.
Right. Yeah. Like, doesn't make sense. I don't know.
It's like when Daredevil gets shot. I'm like, no.
Wouldn't happen.
No, that he doesn't. That's, no. Spider-Man gets hit with a punch. I'm like, you're just playing with my emotions now.
yeah. So, like, the little inconsistencies that happen is like, just... somebody else I thought of would be a good person to introduce would be Namor, since he was part of the original Defenders,
and they've already hinted at him twice now.
They've hinted at him a couple times,
once in Ultron and once in Endgame.
Another person to introduce that is already set to have their own Marvel series is Moon Knight. They could have Moon Knight come in.
Yep. That would be good because not a lot of people know him. Mm-hmm. So it'll be good to introduce him to the crowd.
Yeah.
And I think the series is going to do a good job of that because the series have yet to be off so far.
Yeah.
Except for season one of Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Woo! It's getting hot in here, so hot now.
Another one they could bring into, which is also somebody who is set to have their own movie, is Blade. Blade would be pretty cool to see. I mean, like I said, it wouldn't have to be the whole movie, just kind of introduce him, go on a little mission, like, sweet.
A cameo would be great.
Yeah, just like, to kind of set up the character so people, you know who he is, get ready for his movie.
Yeah.
Last one I have, Ghost Rider would be sweet.
So Ghost Rider is funny for me because Ghost Rider, I like the Robbie Reyes version that was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Once again, I encourage you to watch that show. It's slow in the beginning, but once it picks up, once you're invested, by episode 7 or 8 in season one, you should be invested.
Yeah.
And once you're invested, you're in, and it's great. Because it ties into the movies very well. But the Robbie Reyes on that was really good. I can't say much about the Nicolas Cage movies because I've only ever watched them twice. And the second time for each of them was an accident. I don't know how much more we need to explore Ghost Rider, because as bad as those movies were, in my opinion, they did a really good job representing the character.
They did. I mean, yeah, they were, they, you know, kind of got his general backstory mostly right. And,
yeah.
And, you know, his overall persona, right? Yeah, I don't know. It would be cool. I don't know. He's one that I've liked for a long time. He's not ever been like in my top 10 or anything, but he's like, he's definitely, Ghost Rider's been like, he's just one of those cool characters. And, the Nicolas Cage movies were just, they're like,
the phone there. Oh, it's bird. Oh yeah.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Exactly. Exactly.
He almost played Superman. Just keep that in mind. He almost played Superman.
He was, I mean, back in that, in those, like in that time, he was a better actor. He wasn't taking on like every role that people threw at him.
No.
So.
I don't mean to jest. I really enjoy his work.
Yeah, no, I do too. Like I said, his early stuff is great.
Right, right. It's just funny. It's like the Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like you look at, like you make fun of his accent, but then you look at movies like Junior, and you're like, wow, he can be a really good actor. He can be really touching and emotional. Yeah,
even though he's only ever like himself in every movie. It's really good.
Even in Junior, I have to pee.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh man, I've seen that movie way too many times. That's so weird. It's like a generic quote, but like it's also weird that I can quote that part of the movie. Right. You can edit. Hey, we can edit that out anyway. you don't have to edit it out.
Yeah.
I have no shame. I am a man. Anyway.
Yeah. So Multiverse of Madness. A lot of possibilities. It'll be interesting to see where they go. Obviously going to be dealing with the multiverse since that has been opened up in Endgame. And who better to take that on but Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would love to see Defenders be brought to the screen, or, you know, Secret Defenders. I have issue number one of Secret Defenders somewhere around here. It's nice. super tattered, not worth anything.
But I thought you had it like ready. I was like, oh, okay.
It's like, it's over here in a stack over here, and maybe I'll dig it out after we're done recording. but Secret Defenders would also be really good. And they have Wolverine in that one. That would be another good way to bring in X-Men. So
another fun fact of Multi of Madness is, as you know, it's being directed by the master himself, Mr. Raimi.
Yep.
So, you know something about Ted Raimi. He always has a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
One, his car.
Mm-hmm.
And two, his cameos.
Yeah.
Bruce Campbell is almost a guarantee. Not even worried about that. But I heard a rumor that he's going to try to get Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield in for a cameo, because it is a multiverse of madness.
That would be, I mean, if they could clear that with Sony, that would be pretty. I mean, I guess it wouldn't have to do technically be Spider-Man. If they were just in the movie, people would kind of put two and two together. So yeah, that would be cool.
I think Tobey Maguire should play Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
No, I saw that as one of the theories that was floating around the internet, and I'm like, yo, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. He should play Uncle Ben to Tom Holland's Peter Parker.
It'd be kinda...
He should deliver the line, put on a little weight, Asian, whatever.
Asian. He's not that far off from Marissa Tomei, like, honestly.
He's really not, though. Like, that would absolutely work.
Yeah.
No?
I mean, he's got to be, I mean, there's probably maybe 10 years difference. That's not a whole lot.
No, and so can I share with you my vision that I thought was going to happen in Homecoming, which made sense?
Sure.
So, are you familiar with Spider-Man's Rogues Gallery at all?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you know about the Vulture's power to absorb age?
Yes, yeah.
So what I thought was going to happen was actually one of those things came true, which was the Vulture figured out his identity, which was the only thing that made sense. Mm-hmm. Because that's just, he's a kid. He doesn't know anything about that yet. So the Vulture figured out his identity. What I thought was going to happen was Aunt May was going to be kidnapped and he was going to mess up somehow. And he was going to actually absorb her life force and he was going to get to her just in time, but she was going to be a lot older.
A lot older. Yeah.
Was and be the older May that we know. And I was like, if they do that, that would make a lot more sense. And that would be dope because that would add the element that we're missing with Aunt May. Aunt May, we're constantly worried about her because she's old. She's fragile. She doesn't know how she's going to pay the rent. Like, that's what made Spider-Man relatable and interesting. But now definitely. You have Tony Stark's money and resources?
Yeah.
Like, what problem is he ever going to have? Oh, Peter, we're late on rent, really?
Because the only problem that he has now is trying to keep Happy from flirting with her. That's the only thing.
Listen, he's just got to stop cock blocking the man. Like, Happy at this point, like, he lost his best friend. He got his ass waxed by Black Widow
and
a bunch of other people. I'm pretty sure he snapped out of existence, right?
No, he
didn't snap out of existence.
No. I don't know. I don't know.
I think he was one of the people that was snapped out of existence. Think about it. Otherwise, he would have been living with Tony when Morgan was born.
Yeah.
I guarantee you Happy would have been close by. Tony would have, like, kept him in, like, an underground bunker or something.
Because that's just
what Tony did. He had relationship and abandonment issues.
Right.
He's very... Yeah. And again, what is it? DPDC, whatever. Different podcast.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Different
conversation. There it is. Yeah. So... Doc Strange.
I'm excited for that. For one more thing, is I'm excited to see Doctor Strange grow in power.
Yeah.
For those who don't know about Doctor Strange in the comic books, his feats list is way too long, so I'll just keep it brief. I'll just keep it very brief. Doctor Strange at one point destroyed a
dimension.
Yep. So, if you do whatever scaling you want to with that, look it up. It's in the books. It really happened. He just destroyed a dimension. Yep. Doctor Strange squared up with Nightmare in his own realm, which if you need to Google that or understand what that means, just understand that's a big deal.
I'm sure it's on his Wikipedia page. Go look it up.
Just Google Doctor Strange respect thread and do what every other like person does when they don't understand a character and they want to make a good argument. Just Google respect threads, Google Quoria, whatever it is. Like, that's what I recommend to people who like want to argue things and they don't read comic books. Just do that.
Yeah.
It's not illegal. You know,
no, it's not.
If you don't understand a character, like, I didn't know who the Runner really was until I got beaten in a debate on Instagram, and I was like, I had to look up the Runner. I was like, oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's always fun when you get in debates, you know, get into some unknown waters, and you're like, wait a minute, like,
right.
Am I actually speaking truth here? Like, because I don't know.
Well, yeah, he was on a team. It was like a 4-on-4, and I was downplaying the Runner severely and somebody called me out on it and I was like, huh? So I did some research on the Runner and I had to concede because I was like, you know what? The Runner is actually kind of a beast. So
yeah,
you got that. And yeah, this is actually a Marvel stomp. I have to look up the debate, but it was a good one.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm excited for. I'm excited for Doctor Strange to kind of get his boost of power to get like the Luke Skywalker treatment that we should have gotten in Last Jedi. Still bitter, hashtag. Because if anybody knows anything about Star Wars, Luke Skywalker is a stupid beast when it comes to power.
Yeah.
He's easily like universal in scale. And I love when people get into debates about the Jedi because I'm just like, bro, like the Jedi from Padawan stage are trained to be faster than light.
Yeah.
So by the time they're Jedi, saying they're not FTL is just stupid. Like, yeah. I don't even need to like the exercise that Luke was doing in episode 4 aboard the Millennium Falcon, that's what Padawans do.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
They do that from the age they're like 6.
Yep.
So by the time they're 12, they're just casually having conversations about deflecting blaster bolts. It's like, yeah, bro. Like, the only reason that Padawan got killed in episode 3 aboard that platform was because there was too many of them and he got overwhelmed and he was scared. Yes, I read the novel. Hashtag I'm a geek. What? Oh, hey, what? Oh, you can't see me, but I'm doing the worm. Anyway.
Nah, it's all good. Yeah, I'm with you. Doc Strange definitely needs to go. He needs to be kicked up a notch. First movie was awesome. Can't wait for the second movie. So
I'm excited for Baron Mordo to come back and show. He, if we're talking about the cheetah to the Wonder Woman, the Venom to the Spider-Man, or the Joker to the Batman, like he is one of the main villains of Strange, and he's a powerful sorcerer.
Yeah.
And if you saw the after credit scene of Doctor Strange, it's been 3 years, so I'm going to spoil it for you. So, I'm sorry, it's been 3 years. It's been on Netflix. Now it's on Disney Plus. Get over it. Like at the end of the end credit scene, Baron Mordo shows the ability to take magic from other people that have magic in them. So if you're familiar with Chekhov's law, if you show a gun in the beginning of the play, by the end of the play or by the end of the act or something like that, it must be fired.
Yep.
So we see this. He's probably going to either take a portion or all of Strange's power. And Strange is going to have to do something to get his power back, thereby increasing his power.
Yeah. And
I really hope it's not one of those, the power's been within you the entire time, my son.
Oh, my Atlanta.
No, like, I'm serious, though. Like,
no, I agree. That was one of my big things with Captain Marvel. I was like,
I hated that. It's the same thing with Ragnarok. It's like,
yeah.
Are you Thor, the god of hammers?
Yeah.
Are you serious? he's just been continental this entire time. And we're not continental. Like, I mean, Hulk is continental. So he's just been like whatever level we want to give him right now. And he just had to unleash his power.
Exactly. Like, come on. Come on now. All right, last bit of news. Well, not really news, but it's kind of interesting. So the MCU science advisor, theoretical physicist Clifford Johnson, has an idea of how to introduce the Fantastic Four via Black Panther.
Okay.
Clifford Johnson, he's a consultant. Like I said, he's a theoretical physicist. He's consulted on MCU for a long time. He says what makes sense in his mind is to bring in the Fantastic Four through Black Panther. He says, quote, "Wakanda and the Fantastic Four should connect at the beginning, and I know how to do it." Reed Richards was taking his team, and they were going off into weird higher dimension stuff, the stuff we're trying to understand now in real science. They would go up into this weird dimension, and Black Panther with Wakandan technology would bring them back. So that's his pitch. It could work, I guess, if they wanted it to.
It's very safe. It's very CW safe.
Yeah.
But I also don't really see another way to do it. It makes sense, too, because they haven't been mentioned up until this time. I don't believe, except for in passing, I believe that was one of the names in Winter Soldier, I think.
There was something like that. Yeah. Either that, or I want to say... There was the name Richards was like on a computer screen.
Yeah, like I see early. Yeah. I see it there. So the one thing that I need them to do, and I don't think that Black Panther did this very well, is I need them to accentuate T'Challa's intelligence.
Yeah.
Because you sort of did that in Civil War, and then you had a chance to do that in Black Panther, and you showed his tactical intelligence. He's mm-hmm. obviously a much better and smarter fighter,
mm-hmm.
Getting a victory on Captain America. And by victory, I don't know how you gauge that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But when I look at like a victory, I look at like, okay, if I can get you off your feet and in a vulnerable position, that's a down for me. Yeah. That's a victory. That's a dub. So he, in my opinion, like obviously lowballing, he's even with Captain America, who's the best fighter on the MCU,
mm-hmm.
which is not true. It's really Gamora, but that's a different conversation that people aren't ready for. sorry, hashtag proud geek. Lowballing, like highballing, you got to look at like he's probably a step above.
Yeah.
And I would say that because Bucky and Captain America are just about even. And if you want to scale Bucky and lowball and play it safe, cool. He was going to kill Bucky at least twice in that movie.
Yep.
And he would have if other people didn't get involved.
Yep.
He had Bucky dead to rights at least 3 times off the top of my head. Scarlet Witch saved him and Captain America saved him twice.
Yeah.
So that being said, yeah, you can argue, oh, he was trying to get away. Yeah, okay, cool. But in the airport, he was actually fighting him. So in T'Challa was like, oh, that's cute. Let me just double leg take down you and the vibranium claws to your throat, son. So what I need them to do is show how smart he is. Like he's a character that has a very similar track to Batman. He studied at the smartest schools in the world.
Yeah.
Like in the cartoon on Netflix, Avengers Assemble, or I forget which one it is, I'm watching, it's 2 seasons of it. There's an episode where Reed Richards is with one character and T'Challa is with another. And we, as the audience, see Reed Richards explain the situation and start to disarm the bomb or the problem. And then we pan over to T'Challa, literally doing the same exact thing with Hawkeye reiterating, wait, what is that? Which is, he's repeating a concept that Reed Richards was literally just explaining.
Yeah.
So if you're reading between the lines, you have to understand probably that most likely what happened was T'Challa explained what was going on and started fixing the problem.
Right.
So that puts his intelligence, if Reed Richards is at a 10, that puts T'Challa probably at like a 9, or if I could probably argue a 9.5, maybe an 8, or from lowballing.
Yeah.
Like, he's up there, and I need to see that because I have not seen that in the first movie or in Civil War.
Really. No.
Like, Shuri is the genius, and Shuri establishes herself as the smartest person in the MCU in Infinity War, which I still replay sometimes when I get sad because that made me laugh so hard. She's like, why did you just reprogram it collectively? And I'm like, y'all have been trying to solve this problem for how long now?
Yeah.
And she looks at it for just 6 seconds, and she's just like, yo, I wanted her to clown Tony's armor at one point.
That'd be awesome. That would have been like, awesome.
I see you have made it to nanites. This is what you should have done to make this more seamless. And then it just have him be like, huh, that's interesting. Friday, did you get that? Incorporating now.
Yeah, yeah.
Here, use this configuration. I just came up with it.
Yeah.
I would have been like, that is motherfucking Shuri. Yes. Oh, she is just a beast like that.
But yeah,
that's T'Challa as well. So that's what I want in Black Panther 2. I'm not ready for them to destroy Wakanda because they just gave it to us.
Yeah.
So if they go the comics route and they go the Namor route and they actually have him
pull
the
yeah.
and destroy it, I think it's gonna be too soon. I think it's gonna be like they did with the helicarrier in Avengers.
Yeah.
They gave us the helicarrier and then they neuter it immediately. I'm like, yeah. That's not a good showing. That shows me that you shouldn't have a floating target in the air that doesn't maneuver well.
Yeah, yeah. Not very good. yeah, I don't know. It would, like I said, it would be a good way to you know, be a safe way to introduce the Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
On the last episode, I believe, talking with Raph, he mentioned that he made the point that Fantastic Four, like, works best back in the 60s. You know what I mean? This was his pitch. Have it be a set piece back in the 60s, and they go up and they, you know, somehow they get caught up in some other multiverse or like this says some other dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could bring them back, you know, give them the Captain America treatment, being out of time that way. That would kind of be, I don't know, that would be kind of interesting if they went if they could, because I mean, honestly, I think it'd be kind of cool to see, like, because Fantastic Four's better stories did happen back when, you know.
Oh yeah, when they were doing like multi-dimensional shit like on a regular.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know. That would be interesting, to say the least. It's going to be interesting one way or the other to see how they decide to bring Marvel's First Family in.
Mm.
And I don't know.
I will recant my initial, you know, adherence to the idea. I do like it. I do like the idea of it being a period piece. But I will argue and say that I think a modern day Fantastic Four version can exist.
Yeah.
It can happen. There was nothing wrong with Josh Trank's Fantastic Four, I guess the foundation of it. I think it fell apart in the middle. There's right. A lot of things that fell apart about it, but I think the main issue is that you can have a modern day Fantastic Four. You just have to have the story be good.
Right.
You know, that's what it comes down to. Like, Reed Richards is an interesting character. Sue Storm is an interesting character. Johnny Storm is a two-dimensional but kind of interesting character. And The Thing is a very complex and interesting character. And the fact that The Thing went from being like a low tonner to being a contender for the Hulk and the Juggernaut over the years is interesting as hell. You think a big dude wouldn't be as fast and as good as a fighter as he is, and it turns out he's up there as one of the best fighters in Marvel. And you wouldn't think that, because you're like, he's a big rock dude. But like, Ben Grimm is a brawler, dude.
He's a brawler. He definitely,
like,
is.
Homeboy is a street boy, a street thug. Like, what do you mean? Like, and he's a pilot. Like, and he's a combat expert. Like,
yeah.
Like, these are, Sue Storm is one of the most powerful people in Marvel, period.
Yeah, yeah.
Reed Richards is the smartest person in the world, and his son is a multiversal entity.
So, yeah.
That's the thing, is like, if you ask my opinion, like, I think Raph has a good idea. I think an interesting idea, and I thought about this when they got the rights back. I was like, okay, so introducing the Fantastic Four would be cool. What will be more interesting is introducing Franklin Richards and having him show up, be like, yo, I need your help. So my universe is dying, and have that universe be the ultimate universe.
Hey, right? Yeah.
Have that universe be the ultimate universe and be like, yo, so apparently somebody named Thanos snapped, and somehow there was a rift kind of experiment that my parents are doing, and it entered in my dimension. And it affected my entire dimension. So it's being erased as we speak, and they need your help, blah, blah, blah. And somehow they get pulled over, and that's the Fantastic Four. Boom.
Boom. We got it. We wrote it.
It's all now, set.
Now I just need $200 million.
Yeah, just some royalties. I'll be fine with royalties.
Well, no, to make the movie. I just need $200 million, and I need location and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll get Simple. You your movie. That's easy. Just give me the money. There's got to be a bored billionaire out there who's richer. Like, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
You want a movie?
You're listening? We know how to do this. Let's do it.
You know what I would do? I would literally just hire nerds.
Yeah. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, hire nerds who are fantastic for nerds. Hold a poll online. I know there's at least 10. Get me everything you know about these four characters. How would you rank this movie? How would you make it interesting? How would you make a sequel? What stories would you bite off of? What stories would you not bite off of?
Right.
Instead of talking to Hollywood executives that have never opened a comic book.
Exactly. Exactly.
Anyway, that's what we need.
We need more John Favreau's and Kevin Feige's and
Taika Waititi's.
Yeah, we need all of them. More of them helming these projects for sure. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, Nathan, thanks for joining us. We went over quite a bit.
We did.
I think what I'll end up doing is I'll cut this in half because we have quite a bit of stuff that we went over, and nice. I'll release this in two episodes.
I'm down.
thanks again. It was fun having you on. We'll have to have you on again.
Hey, it's been a pleasure. Anytime, any topic you want me to rant about, just point the target and just let me go. Like, perfect. I got it.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, with that, we will sign out and we'll say stay safe and keep on nerding on. Thanks for listening, UFOFers. If you like what you heard, follow and subscribe, and be sure to share and review wherever you listen. Be sure to check us out on Facebook in our two different locations, the first being our group and the second being our official podcast page. Follow us on Twitter at the FOF Pod and email us with any questions, comments, or ideas you may have at thefof.pod@gmail.com. Music is provided by my brother Hayden at twostepcuts.com. Check him out for any of your music editing needs. Be sure to check out and pick up an official FOF Pod t-shirt at storefrontier.com/thefofpod.
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever.